Exodus chapter 20, if you haven't turned there yet, is where we'll be. Exodus chapter 20. We are continuing a series called More Than Rules, 10 Commandments for the 21st Century. And we come this morning to the fourth commandment that was read by Justin. Thank you for that. A few years back, it's been a few years now, I was in the beginning stages of ministry and just a few years in to my first ministry assignment. And my family had scheduled to go on vacation that year. We usually switch years on and off, my wife and I, with, you know, my wife's family or my family each year, different family. And this particular year that we were going on vacation was my family here going on vacation. So we go to the same spot, Virginia, where we were this past year. And we're there on the beach, and throughout the week, different members of my family kept asking me the same question. They said, "Is there something wrong? You just seem different. Something's different about you. I don't know. Are you okay?" And this was different people, different times, and nobody was talking to each other about it. They were just asking me separately. And I began to wonder, but is there something wrong with me? I mean, maybe, I don't know. Is there something different? But I could tell there was in myself an inability, even though I was on vacation, to be able to relax, to be able to appreciate what was going on right there. And I kept thinking about things back at home, thinking about things at work and ministry, and worrying about situations that I left, and wondering how people were doing, and wondering if anybody needed anything. And I kept feeling this tension throughout the week. And it wasn't until about the middle of the week that I started to be able to understand what was going on, that I wasn't able to leave work with work and be on vacation. And I've realized in the years since then, every time I go on vacation, it takes me a few days to be able to unwind and let things go. The downside of that is that by the time I do find out that I'm truly relaxed and on vacation, it's almost time to go home, which is another conversation. But I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. This tension, this inability to get your mind off of things and let vacation be vacation, or a weekend with friends and family be a relaxing trip for you. Maybe always thinking about what needs done next and can't let go to enjoy the present moment. I found a few statistics. I'm a statistics guy, so you have to bear with me this morning. I'm going to spit some numbers at you because this interests me, and I think it gives us a snapshot about what's going on in our culture and our society to contribute to feelings like those of us have felt before, this inability to let go of work. At least 134 countries across the world, developed countries, have laws that set the maximum length of the hours of the work week, but the U.S. does not. In the U.S., over 85% and over 66% of females today work more than the allotted 40-hour work week that we're accustomed to talking about and referring to in our conversation. In fact, in 2014, a poll was done, a Gallup poll, that showed that the average length of the American work week has increased to 47 hours currently. And many of you probably work more than that. According to the International Labor Organization, Americans work 137 more hours per year than Japanese workers, 260 more hours per year than British workers, and 499 more hours per year than French workers. But they're French, so that's expected. I'm sorry if you're French. Had to throw that in there. A Business Week article from 2005. So this is over 10 years ago now, so you can imagine the distance of time and space that has changed probably even these statistics. But a Business Week article in 2005 said that 40% of American adults get less than 7 hours of sleep on weekdays. That's up from 31% just a few years prior to that. How many of you got less than 7 hours last night? Right. About 60% of us are sometimes or often rushed at mealtime, this survey said. And one-third of us wolf down our lunch at our desks or in our office, wherever we are for lunch, according to a survey by the American Dietetic Association. In this particular article, to sum up what had found had been found in the American Worker said, to avoid wasting time, we're talking on our cell phones while rushing to work, answering emails during conference calls, and generally multitasking our brains out. The results of this demanding work schedule are actually really impressive. They've done studies on the productivity of an American worker over the years, and what they found is that from 1950 to today, the productivity per American worker has increased 400%. 400%. Now, some of this is technological advances that enable us to do more, communicate better, different things that people in those days didn't have. But nevertheless, the American worker, on average, produces over 400% more since 1950. Now, if logic says anything, an increase of that amount should account for something. Like, maybe we should be working now 10 hours a week versus 40 hours a week because our productivity is 400% more, right? Or we should at least be making four times the amount of money that we made in 1950 comparable today, right? Does that happen? No. We know it doesn't. And it's like someone is holding the button down on a treadmill that we're on, and we can't stop it. It just keeps getting faster and faster and faster. And we've created a society which productivity, more activity equals more productivity. The busier you are, the more you get done. The faster you go, the better off you are, and the more hardworking you are. Many of us now work Saturday often, sometimes Sunday as well, to get things done. Longer days, more overtime. And then when we're not at work, we're taking kids to sports practices and games, band rehearsals and concerts, trying to keep the yard done and the house in order, fixing dinner, taking the cars to be fixed or fix them ourselves, entertaining friends and neighbors, volunteering at church, and generally continuing the same rat race in our off time that we go to at work. Our vacations are long, but they're not long enough. Our sleep is satisfying, isn't satisfying. The weekends are too short, and we can't escape this feeling of unending activity. We rarely get any time for ourselves, or our families, or our spouses, and certainly not for God. Sound familiar? Am I making sense to anybody? It's interesting that if you go back and you read in the pages of Scripture, where we're at with our people in Israel right now is they're at the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. They have just come off a season in their lives, in their history of their people, in which they experienced much the same thing. Unending work, unending busyness, the inability to escape it. Egyptian culture revolved around the Israelite slave. And some scholars believe that the absence of the Israelite slave and their labor that they offered to the Egyptian people and the destruction of the Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea contributed to the downfall of the Egyptian people in their place in world history. For 430 years, the people of Israel had been enslaved. Every day, every moment, every hour of their lives was spent doing work of some kind or preparing work for someone else. It's a lot to untrain yourself after your entire life and your family's lives have been devoted to work to that caliber. How do you provide for yourself? How do you work out the rest and the working schedules of our lives that we often take for granted, the rhythm of life that sometimes we enjoy without realizing it? But the people of Israel, all they ever knew was slavery. And after 430 years in slavery, you're tired. And so God establishes at Mount Sinai cycles and rhythms in their life that would enable them to recover from this traumatic experience of slavery and unending work. And He establishes in their calendar several periods of rest that were supposed to take place, the first of which was Sabbath, a as we read in our reading in Exodus chapter 20, 8 through 11. And it's obvious from that reading, as we heard it from Justin, that God wanted, God demanded that the Israelites rest. From the very important down to the least important, everybody was commanded to do this. Nobody was exempt. All were to rest. He says, you, your son, your daughter, even the livestock and the migrant worker were to rest. The word Sabbath itself means interruption or cessation of work. And it's interesting because of all the commandments, if you read the Ten Commandments and you count how many verses are in each, of all the commandments, this one is the most explained and talked about and discussed commandment of all of them. God gives the most specific instruction here. He gives the most time and energy to devote to explaining why they were to rest and how they were to rest. If we were to keep reading in the law, if we got to Leviticus 23 through 25, God will later give the people of Israel other periods of rest too. The Sabbath was not their only period of rest. In fact, if you read those three chapters in Leviticus, what you'll find is that God lays an entire year calendar out for the people. Periods of rest that they were supposed to enjoy. Feasts that they were supposed to take part in. And the typical Jewish calendar, now there are more feasts, but in the Old Testament, there were seven feasts throughout the year that were to be enjoyed. Two of these feasts were week-long feasts where everything stopped. People didn't go to work. People didn't do anything but enjoy time with family, time with friends, and enjoy God's rest. And every 6 days, on the seventh year, was to be an entire year of rest, called the Sabbath year, in which the rest for the land was given. There were to be no crops that were to be planted for an entire year. Can you imagine? They were commanded not to plant for a season. To let the land recover, to let it rest and regenerate itself. And God would provide food for the people for that year. Every 49 years, on the 50th year, there was what was called the Year of Jubilee. We don't believe that Israel actually ever celebrated the Year of Jubilee. But it was commanded that they would spend not only a year giving the land rest in the Year of Jubilee, but that they would return property at that time. That they would set captives free, that they would repay debts, and in general give rest to the people and to the land for an entire year. God would provide these times of rest and relaxation. And I know what sometimes happens in our minds as we read these commandments from the Old Testament, we read the Ten Commandments, and especially this one, the Sabbath rest. And our objection, our main objection, is that this is the old law. This really doesn't have any bearing on us as people of God today. You've probably heard that, right? And I wish we had more time to devote to that particular objection. But let me suffice it to say that in a general sense, you're right, in a general sense, you're wrong. Because while the law has particular implications for the Israelites and it doesn't for us, the command to rest is a command for God's people across all time. If you remember, on the seventh day of creation, do you remember what God did? He rested. Does God need to rest? No, God is God. He's all powerful. The fact that God rested on the seventh day was as an example to us that we should emulate in our lives of rest. It wasn't a specific thing that was given for them at that time. It doesn't apply to us today. We are still human beings and we still require the same rhythms of life that people have from all times. And it's interesting because if you look at the New Testament, Jesus observes Sabbath. And there's a funny story in Mark chapter 2 where the disciples and Jesus are walking through a grain field and it's the Sabbath day and the disciples start picking heads of grain off and chewing on them as they go through the field. Do you remember the objection for the Pharisees? That's work. It's the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work. And they confront Jesus and his disciples on this. And Jesus says, no, you've got this all wrong. And what's interesting is that the backstory of that is by Jesus' day, this command to rest on the Sabbath had taken on a new name of its own. that it become very strictly regulated, that there were specific things that you were allowed and not allowed to do, a particular distance you were allowed to walk in a day so as not to work. And Jesus says, no, you misunderstood the commandment. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The fact is, Jesus says, rest is for us, not us for rest. Jesus even talks about it in a few chapters later as the disciples have experienced a busy period of their lives in Mark chapter 6. And he says something to them at the end of that particular period. He says, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Jesus rested and observed the Sabbath. Because the principle of Sabbath is not tied to a day. For the people of Israel, it was given that the Sabbath day, the seventh day, which is actually Saturday, not our Sunday, another conversation, was rest. That was to be their day of rest. But for many of us, that can't be a particular day like Sunday or Saturday. For me, personally, Sunday is my work day. This is my first day of back to work. Thankfully, the elders here have recognized that the ministers work on Sunday, so Keith and I get Fridays and Saturdays off. Many of you probably experience working on schedules as well. And so the weekend, Saturday and or Sunday, is not a particular restful day for you. But I think the commandment still holds for us to observe. It should be a period of time in which we are able to put aside things for a while and rest. It should be regular. The fact that it was established on a weekly basis meant something to the people, that every week they would prepare to get ready for Sabbath. When we were in Israel in college, it was really neat because we spent over a weekend period in Jerusalem. And Friday night, the day before Sabbath, is a period of a lot of busyness for the Jewish people. Actually, their day starts at sundown. And so Saturday, the Sabbath, actually starts at Friday evening when the sun goes down. And so by Friday evening, everything had to be ready for Sabbath to be done. You couldn't work the next day, so all the meals, all the cooking, all the preparing for what would normally be done for a day's work had to be done on Friday night. And Friday night was the Sabbath meal, in which families would gather together after they'd finished their working and gathering together for the next day, they would enjoy being together. It was weird, because they just stopped doing things. But it should be doing something relaxing and enjoyable in a regular period of rest for us. Because the Sabbath, observing a period of rest like the Sabbath, is really an act of faith. You tell God in that resting period that God, you will provide for me. That I don't have to continue working and forcing things to happen. That I will rely on you to take care of my needs as I observe your It's an act of imitation. We already talked about this, that God rested on the seventh day, not because he needed to, but because he required his great creation to observe rest. It's a protest. In the Bible, other cultures worked throughout the week, while the people of Israel rested on that particular day. In society, people work through the weekend. There's always that push and that drive to continue to finish something up. I've been accused many times by my wife and other people of running things to the last minute because I think I can just squeeze more into the day. You ever have that? Like, I've got another hour, I can get something done. And then you find that you've stretched yourself too thin and pushed yourself too tight. And you can't get it done. And that's the way the world thinks. But for the people of God in our society, it's a protest against the busyness that is our culture. It was interesting as I was reading this week about this sermon and studying on different stories and illustrations that could be pulled in, I came across something that in history has meant a lot to the Jewish people. There were stories that I was reading about the Holocaust and that period of time in the German Nazi captivity in which the Jewish people, many of them, continued to observe Sabbath. And the stories of the protest that was against Nazi rule and the commandment to work every day of their lives, and many of them would do enough work, they would hide their work, making clothes, and they would make more during the week, hide them, so that by Saturday they could come out and they could still have met their quota for the week. But it was a form of protest against Nazi activity. You know, I believe that there are consequences for not observing Sabbath. I don't know if this is one of those things that God just punishes us in ways that are outside of the normal process of life. I think that the natural consequences of not observing rest and not observing Sabbath are things that we experience as a result of our ignorance of it. Things like physical unhealth, because we're too stressed out. Heart problems that result, not because of our genetic condition, but because of the way that we interact with different things every day because we haven't rested. Our mental and emotional health, the ability to be able to handle stress and different things in our minds, ability to grasp the daily tasks because we haven't, but we have given ourselves rest. The spiritual consequences of going days, weeks, months without time with God specifically to enjoy His presence, and the lasting implications that that gives on our spiritual relationship with God when all we do is work and don't take time to share with Him. The relational nature that it has. And sometimes it becomes difficult as we work too much to connect with people and form lasting friendships and make deep connections with others in our church family and beyond. Could it be the increasing paranoia, the increasing levels of stress and tension that we see in the world around us playing out on our news screens every day and every evening? Could it be that these things are partly because we have failed as a society to rest? Many of you can probably remember a day in which businesses were closed on a particular day of the week. People didn't do things. You just didn't go anywhere because you were supposed to rest. Those days are gone, and we will never get them back. But that doesn't mean that we as a people of God can't continue to observe those types of things, that we haven't even been commanded to observe those kinds of things. Pete Scazzaro writes of a story, and I'm not sure if this story is true or not, but it was an illustration that he uses in his book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, which is a great book if you're interested in this kind of subject. He talks about it far more in detail than I will. But he tells a story, Pete does, about this wagon train of Christians who were moving in the days of westward migration. They were moving from St. Louis to Oregon. And they had gathered their supplies, they had gathered their wagons together, and they set out for Oregon from St. Louis. And it was their custom, as they were believing people, to stop on the Sabbath, to observe a day of rest, not do anything, worship their God together. As the days turned into the weeks turned into months, the seasons started to change, and autumn came. And the increasing realization of their trip and what would happen if they didn't make it before winter. And so there became a conversation that divided the group. Some wanted to give up their observation of the Sabbath because of the danger of what might happen if they didn't make it to Oregon before winter. The fact that they could die out in the plains of starvation or disease or sickness or cold. And so some decided, we're going to continue on. And we're going to separate from the group and continue traveling. Those of the group who continued to believe that Sabbath was something that needed to be observed separated themselves and continued their weekly ritual of stopping for a day and observing Sabbath. Do you know which group made it to Oregon first? Those who observed Sabbath. Because their horses, their oxen, their mules probably were well rested. They were well watered, well fed. They weren't running on no limited or unlimited energy, on no ability to continue the journey. And I think for many of us, what we often find is that we just think, well, if I can work one more hour, if I can stay up just this night late, if I can get this paper turned in or this project done, or I can get this chore completed or this repair fixed, then I'll be okay. But what we fail to realize is that the gas and the energy that we burn in those moments drains us from being productive the next day, the next day, the next week, the next month, we find ourselves tired, falling asleep at work, on the road, at home, in front of the TV, and we're trying to laugh. My wife and my mother are going to give me a tongue lashing out today because I am exactly the epitome of this sermon. I stand before you as someone who experiences this every day of my life because I struggle with this. I struggle to take periods of rest because I always think that I can just do a little bit more and I can be a little bit more productive and I can get this done. The fact that we didn't have a PowerPoint today is really hard for me because I had a busy week with the holiday and with some funerals and stuff. I just didn't have the time to do what I would normally have done in a week. And I got to the end of my week and I thought, I don't have my PowerPoint done. And what I normally do is I stay up late one night or I stay in the office late to get it done. It's enough. It's enough. They will still learn. They will still understand. And at some point, it has to be enough. Where's God in this? What role does God play when we stress ourselves out and work ourselves to death and think that we can get it all done? What role does God have in us? God invites us to join Him in His rest. And in the meantime, He says, I'll take care of it. It's going to be okay. Remember the Sabbath day. This morning, I don't know where this hits you. If, like me, you think, man, this is just where I'm at. Or maybe you're good at taking rest and you've already mastered this. I'd like to talk to you later. We can share and you can teach you some things. But in a moment, we're going to have a time where you can respond to the invitation. And if you have any from the sermon, we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. If you have any need at all, please come as we stand and sing.